Creedence Clearwater Revival. Who'll Stop the Rain, Jason's classic cut. One of the more unusual bands of the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, in terms of sound. Unusual sound. But one of my favorites. Just a very interesting sound. They had a whole lot of stuff going on in their music. As you know, over the years on the show, I have used the phrase sufficiently ruthless. The conservatives need to fight fire with fire and so on. We have particularly fallen down on this. The example that I use is the heckler's veto strategy that the left is now using to just shout someone down. No, you can't speak on campus. No, you don't deserve a public voice because what you believe is so extreme, we don't have to listen to it. That kind of nonsense. I brought this up when the CEO of Mozilla was forced, was forced to resign because he had supported the anti-gay marriage proposition in California. But we're not very good at playing that game. Well, then you have this. This is from Wisconsin Public Radio. Governor Scott Walker says he has asked the state Republican Party not to send people to private Democrat fundraisers without identifying themselves. The party recently assigned an intern to attend a fundraiser at a private home in Waukesha for Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke. Burke's staffers discovered the intern's identity when she tried to ask Burke a question and shoot video of the candidate's answer. Well, obviously she was very ham-handed. They obviously became very suspicious. Walker asked Monday about the deception. Walker said he does not want a repeat. I passed on my disfavor with that, he said. To me, it's legitimate, as you know. I'm often covered at events like this with people videotaping me. I have no problem with that, but I do think it's crossing the line if people are misrepresenting who they are. Walker also said he didn't know about the decision to send the tracker, and that's what they're called. They're called trackers. That's just what they're called. Walker said he didn't, but I do think it's crossing the line if they're misrepresenting who they are. Walker also said he didn't know about the decision to send the tracker ahead of time. Not at all. And if I had, I certainly would have commented on it, and that wouldn't have happened, he said. Burke's campaign welcomes Walker's words and said it doesn't employ deceptive trackers itself. The liberal group American Bridge is tracking the governor's campaign doings, but says the trackers identify themselves by name and organization if asked. The state Democratic Party also praised Walker's promise. Well, yeah, if you're called out, you have to come clean. But here's the reality, though. Democrats have engaged in behavior that's bordered on stalking. Congressman Reid Ribble talked about it when he was going through his reelection campaign. Cars out in front of his house and that sort of thing. I, too, am not defending what happened here. I don't have a problem with the trackers, but again, if someone says, hey, who are you? You have to be honest. You have to say, I'm here on behalf of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. But this shouldn't be misrepresented to suggest that it isn't something Democrats do. They say, yeah, we self-identify. And the reality is liberal operatives have done things far worse than this. So Reid Ribble and his wife were concerned about their safety, being stalked at the store, that sort of thing. So while I agree with Governor Walker calling the party out on this, let's just keep this in perspective here. Then there's this one, and I did mention this when the story broke, but there's a follow-up on it. A few moments ago, I mentioned the whole concept of silencing opposition. What liberals are trying to do is marginalize into silence anyone who disagrees with them. And quite frankly, they have been having a pretty good level of success with this strategy. I think that's safe to say when you look what's happening at college campuses. Something amazing happened at a Michigan middle school. We told you about it when it happened. John Cass, excellent conservative columnist in the Chicago Tribune, has a piece on this today. I want to share it with you. Teacher's lesson about racism offends his bosses. A respected American history teacher sent to an administrative gulag for teaching American history has returned to school. Alan Barron, a teacher at Monroe, Michigan Middle School, and a 36-year veteran about to retire, was put on administrative leave for teaching a controversial subject. The best thing you can say about what happened to me is that it's turned out to be a teaching moment for the kids, Barron told me over the phone. I was worried about how the kids would respond, and I was a bit worried about myself. Who wouldn't have been? His teaching methods apparently violated the sensibilities of the education bureaucracy. But what was his offense, exactly? In a lesson on segregation and racism, Barron showed a video that focused on the ugly old practice of white entertainers putting on blackface as part of their theatrical acts. Barron described to me what happened. A school administrator observing his class apparently took offense. He was called to the main office, and within minutes, he was whisked out of school. You can't call it a suspension, Barron said, of his more than 2 weeks' stay in the gulag. They call it indefinite administrative leave. I always tell my students, be afraid of falling out of a third-floor window, but never be afraid about standing up for what you believe. Oh, that's good. Be afraid of falling out of a third-floor window, but never be afraid about standing up for what you believe. And then I was confronted with this, and yes, I was worried, so I learned something too. Barron missed the big school banquet where he would have been honored as an exemplary teacher, which we shared earlier, at the end of his career. But a good thing happened. After parents became incensed and the story went national, the school reinstated him so he could finish his last few days. I asked him about his time in education limbo. Were you taken to room 101 for re-education therapy? That's Orwell, he said. I was teaching history. There was a pause, and we savored it for just a moment. And then Cass goes on. Teaching history means sometimes you teach things that happened that were offensive. Racism is offensive, and the use of blackface was offensive, he said. The crucifixion was offensive, wars are offensive, and the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II was offensive. But it happened. You don't skip history because it might offend. It happened. It's history. That's what I do. I teach history. Barron's students told their parents about his abrupt departure. The parents soon began raising hell. One Monroe mom, Adrienne Aaron, was particularly upset. She helped organize parents. We just love Mr. Barron, Aaron told me. My daughter is black. My husband is black. My father was from Iraq. My mother is Hispanic. I guess you'd say we're a multicultural family. Yeah, you are. I'm just saying. No, I'm celebrating it. But yeah, you are. We weren't offended. My daughter was worried about the school hurting Mr. Barron because he tried to teach history. She wanted to know about segregation, about Jim Crow. There were some whispers that the school was worried about offending people. Here's what's truly offensive. Ignoring history because it might offend. It happens all the time in American public schools, which are by definition subject to politics. Subject matter is run through a politically correct filter, past politicians, legislature, school board members, and local poobahs. My daughter wanted to learn, and so did the other students, Aaron said, and to force him out of school, to make him miss the banquet, to put him and the kids under that kind of stress for teaching history that actually happened is terrible. When we contacted school administrators, they would not comment as to the why and how of things. Earlier, though, the school district put out a statement to the people in Monroe saying, the perception that a teacher was placed on administrative leave for teaching in the history of racial issues simply is not true. Well, then what is the truth? As a result of incorrect information, a highly respected and loved teacher, and one who has done much for his students in the community, has had to endure a public airing of what should have ended through a district discussion, the statement read. What the hell are you talking about? You want to talk about Orwellian? This is now everybody else's fault but the district's? If it sounds like bureaucratic gobbledygook, Cass writes, it is. But it's also a special dialect spoken by slippery bureaucrats, politicians, lawyers, and educators who don't want to be held accountable. That's what happened. They knee-jerk reacted to this, and then it's everybody else's fault. The reason Barron had to endure it was not because parents became upset or because reporters wrote stories. He had to endure it because school bureaucrats stopped him in mid-lesson and hustled him out the door. Now they're clamming up. It infuriates Michelle Leach, whose son is a student of Barron's. Even the announcement of Barron's return this week was quite vague, she said. The community wants an apology. Everybody's kind of, I guess, dumbfounded and doesn't understand why everything is kept so hush-hush, Leach said. As parents, we need to know. I'll tell you why. Because they can't defend their idiotic actions, of course, but what parents of Monroe and every other school in the U.S. really need to know is contained in George Orwell's 1984. In the novel, protagonist Winston Smith's job is to rewrite history, scrubbing it of all subversive ideas and offensive passages, lest they disrupt the harmony of the people in the state. Seventh and eighth graders aren't ready for 1984, Barron said, but I hope all my students read it now. I am really sorry if you're offended by this language. I really am. But that poor bastard. Do you know how difficult it is to have decent teachers? Now, he was retiring anyway. This guy is part of a dying breed of someone who is passionate about history, passionate about teaching. Blackface is offensive. It's repugnant. That's why students should learn about it. What's going on right now is Orwellian. Several listeners misunderstood my point on Jefferson Davis the other day. Yes, Jefferson Davis should be taught. Yes, the Civil War should be taught. Yes, slavery should be taught. I disagreed with conservatives who thought that 12 Years a Slave was gratuitously violent. It's taken right from the book. Terrible things happen to slaves. The N-word shouldn't be scrubbed from Mark Twain. This is one of those things conservatives have taken far too lightly, and here's how you get to where you are now. And the district won't back down. Okay, they reinstated him, but they won't admit this was a horrible error. When this story first broke, I mentioned I had a history teacher in high school who, in his first job, was called before the school board because he taught of the Japanese internment, something that Cass brings up here. These things happen. And suddenly you're supposed to pretend they didn't. Here's another example. Not allowing people to smoke in movies set in the 1930s and 40s. People smoked. Scrubbing the cigarette holder and cigarette from FDR's hand. Do you have any idea how dangerous this practice is, regardless of how well-intentioned? Are eighth graders too young to be exposed to blackface? I don't think so. It happened. I think school students should see the films that the Allies took of the concentration camps. You need to know this happened. I think they should hear of the horrible experiments Dr. Mengele did on human beings. These things did happen. This is all part of the same movement, in my opinion, that's trying to stifle conservative speech. If I'm offended by it, I don't have to hear it. This is anathema to the First Amendment. Offensive speech is that which is most protected. This is, and I'm overusing this. No, I'm not overusing it. It might sound like I'm overusing it. It's chilling. It's chilling. And then the school issues a statement. Well, this well-respected teacher had to go through this. You're the one who put him through the ringer, and you won't admit it. If there's any of all of the things wrong with public schools right now, this is probably the worst. This political correctness that even when you are trying to show the horrors of something, you're going to get your you-know-what in a ringer. If anyone has any reaction to this, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. I'm moving on to other things. It's 1022.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.